The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of these things they had seen. The Gospel of our Lord. Today I'd like to draw your attention to your bulletin, the front of the bulletin, which is the content of most of the things I will share today. Your insert, Taking Faith Home. Under Caring Conversation, there's a question. When typically separate times of ecstasy and glory from times of suffering, why does the Bible and Christianity hold these two so closely together? Transformation Sunday is a time of ecstasy. It's a time of the glory of God, unbelievable experience. I wasn't there, so I have to take Peter, James, and John's word for it and trust the Holy Spirit that those kind of things really happened. Awesome things. The book of Luke answers the question when it's recorded that Moses and Elijah spoke with Jesus. The question is, what did Jesus say? What did Moses and Elijah say? What did they talk about? It's only in the Gospel of Luke that you find out. And in Luke, well, we read it already. "There appeared in glory," and we're speaking of his departure. His departure. In the Greek, the word is exodus, from which we read in the Old Testament, the Exodus. In a few moments, you're all going to exodus out of here. But that wasn't an exodus of Jesus coming down the mountain. That was an exodus of his death. His leaving this life and going to what's beyond this life. And today, I would like to focus on that for you and I. Jesus' death was important enough that God sent two witnesses to talk to him about it, to give him support in his time. And I would like to suggest to you that your death is important enough to give thought to it and make plans. Be aware that unless Jesus comes in your lifetime, it's an event that is not stoppable. And in my family, I share with you what I've experienced. There's something called five wishes. It's a legal document that is legal here in Wisconsin and in Minnesota. When my father was in hospice and was dying, and death was obviously very close, we took those five wishes that he had filled out, and we gave them to the hospice people, and they followed those directions. You can have some control when your departure comes, when it's time for you to exit this world, not with fear, but with faith, understanding that God will be with you. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Therefore, as your family gathers, and when you have devotional times, it's not beyond the realm of reality to talk about these five wishes. Real quickly, what are they? The person I want to make decisions for me when I can't. This deals with the assignment of your health care. This is someone who will have the authority to tell the doctors in the hospital situations what you want. And it's not suicidal to reject a procedure or health care. It's very important, though, that those who love you know what you want when you can't make that decision. And the kind of medical treatment I want or don't want, it's kind of like a living will. And how comfortable I want to be. This talks about self-care. The type of pain management you want. Let's be real. When you get a lot of pain management, your consciousness is diminished. So let your family know you would rather to be free of pain and not be able to communicate with them as much as they would like. Talk about that. Make that decision for yourself. And how I want people to treat me. Who do you want by your bedside praying with you? Would you like to be at home, or do you realize that in the end of life, I could not take care of my father? He was a VA veteran, and in St. Cloud, Minnesota, we were referred to their hospice unit. And they took wonderful care of my dad. Of course, my brother and I were there very often to just check to make sure that was true. But these are the realities of life. And then, lastly, what I want my loved ones to know. I'm thinking of Lucy Addy in Leesville, South Carolina. As she came to the last week of her life, she called every one of her family members and she asked them for the forgiveness she had done to them. They had all forgotten that stuff, but it was in Lucy. And she not only wanted to be forgiven, but she wanted to give forgiveness. And then let your family know what kind of funeral plans you want. How do you want your body cared for after you are gone? Five wishes. I have a feeling when Moses and Elijah talked with Jesus, there was an exchange of what his exodus was going to be like. It may not have been what he wanted, but it was inevitable. It was what was needed. And because he made his exodus, you and I, we know that our exoduses will be well cared for. Not only in eternity, but let's do it here on earth. And we're going to sing the song now. How good, Lord, to be here. It was good for Jesus to be on that mountain that day, to help him with his exodus. And I would like to suggest to you, it will be a good day for you when you gather with your family and those whom you love. And you give the wishes you would like to share so that they know and that you've taken care of something that is very important in your faith life. My wife and I have five wishes. My only fear is she might not do what I told her. But that's life. That's life because, well, we're human and we love and care for each other. So let us do that, and let us stand and sing together, How Good, Lord, to Be Here.